sermon this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. We're continuing through the book of John. John chapter 20, starting with verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, who had first come to the tomb, then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Pray with me. Father, thank you for announcing truth to us by your word. Open our hearts now by your spirit to completely embrace reality, that we would grow in grace, that we would grow in knowledge, and we would learn to love you more and more. We need you now. Help us and bless us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we look at these passages. We're given the account of people who lived physically with Jesus Christ. They knew him. They knew what he looked like. They knew exactly what he sounded like. They knew his sermons. They walked with him. And through the midst of his preaching and everything that he proclaimed to them, they still missed it. Even though he said, "I will die, and in 3 days later, I will be raised from the dead," when they go to the tomb, 3 days later, they look and they see and they don't know what happened. Mary runs back and says, "They've taken the Lord's body and we don't know where they put him." We see a people that although they lived in the midst of everything God did, had no hope. Had no hope. had no confidence. Now, the amazing thing, or one of the many amazing things about the way Jesus acts and the things that he does and the ways that he does his things, he could have exploded out of the tomb and done anything, showed up in any way. I would have came out blazing on fire to show everybody, I have raised from the dead, behold, here I am. And I would have just enjoyed it as guards fell and trembled and everything went on that way. But Jesus doesn't do it that way. As much as we would like him just to show up, we look at the way he actually did show up. When he was seen, by his choice, it was through eyes blurred with tears. This is the way that Mary got to meet with Jesus. She was there in this place of sorrow and pain and fear and also great affection for Christ. And as she was brought on this journey or this trail of sorrow and she would imagine isolation, she got to come face to face with Christ, even first. Now, you are a people who live in the midst of everything that Jesus is doing. You are a people who have been brought through trials and journeys and pains. You are a people who have gotten to walk with Christ. You are a people who have seen his faithfulness again and again and again. And yet, in the midst of our own trials, we can strike the same posture and say, we don't know where he is. We don't know where the body is. We don't know what he's gone, where he's gone. We don't know what's happening. And yet, this resurrection account is the same hope for you that it was for them. It's the same glory. It's the same beauty. And it brings the same confidence and joy and peace and rescue that it would have brought for them. This is deliverance. This is salvation. This is death itself conquered. So, where do you find your hope? In a body laying in the grave? In a body raised. A Christ raised as King. Where do you find your joy? From Christ raised as King. Where do you find your strength? From Christ raised as King. The things that we fear most, the things that we dread most, death itself is conquered here. Completely overcome. Not with the fireworks that we would hope to see, but through a presence through. And with eyes blurred by tears, because of the battle, because of the fight that we all live in, because of affection for this great Savior. So find your hope and your strength in this resurrected Christ. Our first step now is we see this taking place in the shadow of atrocity. We would love for things to go smoothly and to go easily in our lives. Most of us have already experienced when things go smoothly and things go easily, we don't have tear-stained eyes. We don't look for him. We don't seek him. Everything seems fine and we just skip through life as if we don't need Christ. But here we look, and if we look at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark. Now let's fall back and we'll look at John 19:41. The location of this tomb. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. This tomb, this is a dark place, and not just because it's a tomb. It's this dark place because it's where Christ was killed. It's where he was murdered, that very same garden. When I was a boy, I was around 7 years old when my grandfather Amos was killed. He was in a truck and he was pulling out on the Route 7 near Steubenville, and his truck was on railroad tracks waiting to get let out in traffic. Now, nobody knows exactly what happened other than a train came and smashed his truck and killed him. Now, this intersection, I cannot drive by that intersection without thinking, that's where my grandfather was killed. There was even a time where my mom and I, and for some reason we stopped there, and we got out, and this was recently after, and I remember us just kind of walking and milling around there, and my mom was picking up pieces of my grandfather's truck that was there, and it was just this dark, heavy shadow of death looming there. Mary comes to this grave, and it is that. It's this dark and it's this heavy shadow of despair and sorrow and pain and disappointment. Now this pain and disappointment and even death itself comes because of sin. It's the reality of the human life. The pain, the sorrow, and death itself. Now, this sin that we're looking at here, and the death that came because of sin, it wasn't Jesus' sin that caused the pain and the misery and the death, but it was the sin of all mankind. We look and we see the pain and the misery and the death coming because mankind rebels against God. We look at the cross. We see the cross is this picture of misery and death because of sin and because of judgment, even because of justice. And you and I walk through this world and we face the miseries and the pains that come from sin. You and I are attached to this. We walk through this. And for a time in this world, we live in this. The sad and painful reality of life this side of glory. Now this brings us to our next move. Number two, seek Him earnestly. It's a great picture here of what's going on. If we look at verse 1, we see Mary Magdalene. She came early to the tomb while it was still dark. How often do we do that? To rise early while it's still dark, to seek anyone or to seek anything. There have been different times in my life where I have risen early while it was still dark because I just had so much to do, I knew I couldn't accomplish it otherwise. There were times that I did it because I had to do it for work. If I didn't do it, I wouldn't work. If I didn't work, I wouldn't get fed. So for food, I would rise early. But we look here and we see Mary's movement, and we see why Mary has gotten up early while it was still dark, and she went because of this sorrow and this need in her soul to be near to Christ. We see the apostles, once they're told that the body's gone, they get up and they run. Why do people run? What's the last time you got up and ran? To go check something out. Some of us run out of some sense of need for exercise or some vanity. But here we see people running because their desire and their affection for Christ has been pricked. Their hearts have been pricked. And in the midst of shadow and shame and sorrow and pain, we rise early. Before the sun is even up, to seek Christ Jesus. To go to that place where there is rescue and deliverance and comfort and strength and hope. We run. We run to find Him. We run to see Him. There's an eager zeal attached to knowing Christ. Now, we look at our lives and many of us, if not all of us, will say, tried that, didn't work. or I have been doing that, and I have nothing to show for it. And we give up. We yield. As if we are happier or content sitting in the valley of the shadow of death than we are marching through it. Well, we see here that after the disciples, and we're moving into our third move now. We'll look at verses, I'm going to move back to verse 10 through 15a. So the disciples went away to their own homes. They looked, they shrugged, they left. But Mary was standing outside the tomb, weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. It's exciting that the scripture just slows down here. The apostles, they run all the way here. It doesn't say he ran by this tree and ran by that tree. He waved at Joe on his way by. There's no details of them booking it there. But with Mary here, in her sorrow, she's standing outside and she's weeping. And it gives the picture of her stooping down as she's weeping, looking still into the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" See, Scripture constantly gives us the idea. It's not that we seek, but it is that you keep seeking. It's not that you knock, but it is that you keep knocking. You pursue Him earnestly. If we were to turn to Genesis 32, verses 24 through 26, we see when God showed up face to face with Jacob, and it's one of the stories that I really love, because then they commenced to wrestling. And there they wrestle all night long. And in the morning, when the sun's rising, God says to Jacob, "Let me go. Sun's coming up. It's a new day." He says, "I won't let you go until you bless me." There's a refusal to let go. A refusal to let go of God. In Deuteronomy 4:29, it talks about the sorrows and the pains that come. It says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search for Him with all your heart and all your soul." You will find Him. You will find Him if you search for Him with all your heart and all your soul. So if we find ourselves in the misery and in the sorrow, and we say, "I've tried it. I've tried seeking Him." If we find ourselves being washed away by our own sin, and we say, "I tried. I tried to fight sin. And yet I'm still losing." The scripture says, "No. No. Keep trying. It isn't over. It isn't finished. It isn't over. It isn't finished. Until you sought Him with all your heart and all your soul. And if He hasn't shown up yet, you haven't done that yet." We keep on seeking. Psalm 119:2. "How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart." The pains, the miseries, the sorrows, they remain. But we find Him when we seek Him with all our hearts. And this brings us to our fourth move. Rejoice in the atonement. Verses 11 and 12 from John 20. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And this idea has excited me. This imagery, this is the imagery of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat where God met with man. We look, and the angels, as they come in pairs, they're either pictures of God holding man back and of judgment, or the gateway to the very presence of God. We look, and when mankind rebelled against God, God placed the cherubim at the garden with the flaming sword, keeping man out from the presence of God. When it was time to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, God sends two angels in for the judgment. When the judgment was done in the scripture, as they had the sacrifices, where we looked in Exodus and where we looked in Leviticus already this morning, the two angels were placed there and the blood of the sacrifice was splashed in between them. That this death took place so that there was access to God. And now Mary goes and she looks in the tomb and we have the two angels, one at the head and one at the feet, and they say, "Whom do you seek?" When the answer is Christ Jesus, we have the very presence of God Himself as our rescue, as our deliverance. Our sins are covered. And that which has separated us from God Himself has been completely washed away. The access is there. Now this idea of atonement, it's an at-one-ment. It's a people who have been ripped apart, separated, in our case, separated from God by sin, and brought back together. Brought at one again. The mercy seat can rightly be translated the atonement covering. It's the exact idea and even the exact word. Perhaps you've heard of the Jewish holiday Yom Kippur. It's the day of atonement. The day of becoming one again. Of being brought back together. Christ here and these angels here. This is the fulfillment of what the Jews had always been looking for. And even now, what they would imagine to celebrate. It is this resurrection and this rescue, this reconciliation with God. Now we look at verses 16 and 17. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." See, there was this physical element of Jesus' presence that Mary had been clinging to and longing for. This is why she came to the tomb where the body had been. She wanted to be near the body. But at this point, he's saying, this isn't it. This isn't it. This isn't your complete rescue, or this isn't your complete comfort. He says, "I go to the Father." This is the complete rescue. As much as we would long to see Jesus, as much as we would long to feel His touch, something more is accomplished. He's ascended. He is at the right hand of God on your behalf. Because of that, you're covered. Because of that, you're rescued. He is the mediator. Your sins are forgiven. This brings us to our next move. Go and tell about hope in Jesus. Verses 17 through 18. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he said these things to her. See, we're here on earth to glorify God. And one of the ways that we do this is by pointing each other to Christ. Continuously reminding one another of what already has been accomplished on our behalf. Reminding one another of what he has said, of what he has done. And this is the way in which we spur one another on in love and good deeds. We bring one another back again and again to who Christ is and what he has done. And this is your hope. This is your strength. This is your joy. We look at all the other things that in which we place our hope and a relationship that we think is going to be just it, just what we need. I will finally be complete. Not going to happen. We think we find our joy in a job. Not going to happen. I think we'll find our strength in the strength of our own arm. You're going to get old. It's not going to happen. But true joy, true hope, true strength, joy in the one who has accomplished exactly what you need, hope in the one who never fails and has promised to come back, strength in the one who has all strength and all power. There we have joy. There we have hope. There is your deliverance. Find it all there. Bring one another into that beautiful place. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you for your amazing plan of redemption. And we thank you for placing us in it. Thank you for our great salvation. Thank you for the beautiful hope that you give us in Christ Jesus. We praise you for the strength that is there. We rejoice in the joy that is there as we are loved and saved and redeemed. Move in us by your truth that you will be glorified in a people who love you because of who you are and what you have done in Christ Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. We now sing the final verse.